Lord Jesus, we just thank you for today and Lord, what all today means.
Yes.
And Lord, thank you for being in our lives for all these years and correcting our steps. And Lord, blessing us so much. This truly is the day that you've made, Lord God.
Amen.
So let us rejoice and be glad in it. Jesus, come and speak to our hearts today. Let this message just resonate to each one of us. Let us plant it deep and call upon it all the time. Every day. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Use me as your vessel, Lord. Pour out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, today will be my final message as your pastor, but perhaps not my final message. Maybe from time to time, Pastor Glenn will allow me the privilege of preaching in his absence. Before I pass the torch to another, I want to speak to you today in detail about the one thing I believe to be the most important part of our walk as a Christian. The most important part of our walk as a Christian. And that, brothers and sisters, is love. We've heard a lot about it already this morning. And heard about it in a Sunday school class even. So this is the topic of today, love. Bonnie picked songs for us to sing that resonated the love of Jesus and our love for others. And I'm so glad to be able to speak this message. I believe I have attempted to lead our church in this direction for over 30 years. And because I'm convinced that God's display of love should inspire us to follow his example. This desire to love like Jesus has been intertwined in almost everything we have done or been taught throughout these years. Love. I wanted our church to be a family filled with love for God and love for one another. And we heard testimony today about that love being for another. It was great. So today I hope to share through this message why your love for God and your love for others is so important. For centuries, if not millenniums, people have been searching for love. And if I could borrow the lyrics and title from an old country western song, I'd have to declare they've been looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
How else can we explain the record-setting number of divorces, the increase in pornography, a society that has replaced the traditional definition of marriage with alternative lifestyles? So where should the masses go to find out about love? Where can we find the love that truly works in a world determined to redefine the word itself? We can't go to society because it doesn't have a clue. We can't go to religion because they abuse and misinterpret love with rules and regulations. We can't go to Hollywood because they have misrepresented it. We can't go to authors because they have as much trouble as everyone else defining love. The definition of love is one of the longest entries in Webster's dictionary. And the Greek language uses 8 separate words to define love. But people need something that they can hang their hats on. Something that everyone can understand and put into practice each and every day. So where do we go? Maybe it's time we go to the source of all love. And that is to the Lord God Almighty and his word. Maybe it's time to go back to the one who created us all and made within our DNA the need for love. Therefore, it's time to go back to the Bible, God's word concerning his creation, that is, for you and me. And it's time to get back to its basics by which life gets and receives its meaning. And what we will discover is that love is life's driving priority. Life's driving priority, or you might say it's our job description. The reason I define it like this is because Jesus gave it as a commandment, a literal job description for the Christian. Listen to John chapter 13, verse 34. It says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Now, I just announced the idea that love is life's driving priority. So where did I derive this conclusion? Well, I believe that the Lord Jesus gives it, not only as a command, but also as a defining principle for life. And he does so in several ways. First of all, love is the great commandment. Love is the great commandment. In Mark chapter 12, verse 30 and 31, Jesus said, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength." This is the first commandment. And the second is like it, is this: "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Some have shortened this to love God and love people. But I think this is too simplistic. And it doesn't accurately convey what Jesus means by placing these two together as first and second. By saying that the second is like the first, what Jesus declares is that if you want to love God with the whole of who you are, heart, soul, mind, and strength, then you show him this love by loving others as yourself. Amen. Jesus stated in Matthew 22:40, he said, "On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets." Imagine that. The entirety of the law, plus all the writings of the prophets, all 39 books of the Old Testament, literally hundreds of thousands of words that were inspired by God, are written down as proving or backing up the importance of Jesus' commands to love God and love man. So we can declare that God and his relationship with humanity are all revealed in these two great commandments about loving God and loving others. And within these two commandments, we also discover instructions for a joy-filled and prosperous life. This is simply the beginning of what Jesus says as to why love is so vital. Amen. Secondly, love is the great authenticator. Love authenticates God's call upon our lives. In other words, love is what demonstrates to the world our faith in Jesus Christ. And it declares that our faith is real. Jesus said in John 13:35, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." In today's marketplace, there are a lot of knockoffs. That is, cut-rate manufacturers who make a living on replicating and duplicating original product lines. They even duplicate the original logo in an attempt to make them look just like the original. You see this especially in clothing lines and ladies' purses. There are probably countless women flouting Gucci knockoffs on their arm. They may appear to be Gucci purses, but the minute differences in the design allow them to continue their deception. And I'm told that throughout the world there are stores that will sell you pieces of clothing along with the original manufacturer's tag so that you can simply iron it on the item yourself. That way you can have the look without paying the price. The same is true when it comes to faith in Jesus Christ. There are many who look like Christians, but who stop short of a full commitment. They belong to this or that religion, this or that denomination, but they may not have the love Jesus is talking about. In other words, they have stopped short of accepting Jesus as their Savior and Lord. And the Holy Spirit has not placed agape love into their spirit. Therefore, they're unable to love unconditionally. They look good on the outside, but are still filled with dead men's bones and all sort of corruption on the inside. Jesus said it in Matthew 23:27. He said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness." What separates the knockoffs from the real thing? When God looks for the mark of a true Christian, and when the world looks for the mark of a true Christian, that mark is love. A love that is easily identified by what the true Christian does. He loves. Thirdly, love is the great apologetic. Whenever we hear the word apology, we think of its more common usage, an admission of error, the acknowledging of a fault. But the term apologetics comes from the Greek language, and it literally means to speak in defense of something. Early writers who defended the faith were called apologists. And there's a type of preaching today that is based in apologetics. So what we must understand is that love is the greatest defense of the gospel message. Love is the greatest defense of the gospel message. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him." God is love, and God is truth. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, it says, "He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he." Jesus, in his prayer to the Father concerning his disciples, prayed this in John 17:17. He said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." And again, Jesus prayed in John 17:21, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. The word sanctify, back in John 17:17, means to set apart, to make us holy. Folks, it is necessary that we be sanctified, that we be set apart. And what is it that sets us apart but the love? And so Jesus is asking the Father to set us apart by the truth of his word, and thus by his love, and by the love that we have for him and one another. Thus the world will know that Jesus is truly sent by the Father, and that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can come to the Father except through him. Finally, love is the great essential. What is an essential? To sustain life, it is essential that we have water, food, and air. In school, it is reading, writing, and arithmetic. I don't know if that's true anymore, but it was in my day. In baseball, it is hitting, pitching, and fielding. In basketball, it is offense, defense, and foul shots. Webster's dictionary defines essentials as relating to or making up the essence of something. What it's all about. It is that which is of the utmost importance, basic and indispensable. An absolute necessity. There's a saying that says, I've got to have it or nothing. I've got to have it or nothing. I've got to have the essential. As this relates to our life and being a disciple of Jesus, the big three essentials are faith, hope, and love. Paul declares this and puts them in order of importance in 1 Corinthians 13:13. He says, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Love, therefore, is the absolute of life. Or to say it another way, it's the stuff that life is made of. If we lack this quality of love, then nothing that we do will impress God or others. Remember, not even our faith is as important as our love. Then Paul makes it clear when with no hesitation, he says in 1 Corinthians 13, that without love, we are nothing. Without love, we are nothing. And he continues by making sure that there's no confusion when it comes to this truth. He says that we can have all the faith in the world or even sacrifice our lives, but without love, God considers them to be of no value. That is, without meaning. Now, Paul shares this thought by using a literary tool called a hyperbole. A hyperbole is an extreme exaggeration in order to make a point. It's not meant to distort the truth, but rather to deliver the truth with a bang. I want to expand the things found in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3 this morning. I believe this is undeniably valuable if we are to understand just how essential love is to the Christian. So first of all, without love, our words have no value. Without love, our words have no value. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Even if we could speak every language on earth, and even if we could speak in angelic terms, if what we say lacks love, then we might as well save our breath. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, we're even told that when we speak the truth, we are to do so in love. It says this, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. In sharing the gospel with a non-believer, we must do so in love. For if there's no love, then all we're doing is criticizing, condemning, and complaining. So our words become hurtful. And so even if we could speak every language on the earth, and could hold a conversation with the angel Gabriel himself. Without love, it's useless and accomplishes nothing. Secondly, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us, without love, our knowledge is lacking. In the first part of verse 2, It says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, but have not love, I'm nothing." Even if we were to possess the supernatural knowledge of God or have the gift of foreknowledge, without love, it is nothing and lacks credibility. While learning is success, it is essential for success, what Paul says here is that if we don't have love, then all the studying, degrees, and doctorates in the world will not accomplish God's purpose. Then 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that without love, our faith is useless. In the last half of verse 2, it says, "And though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." If we think that our faith in God, belonging to this or that religion, or having membership in a certain church or denomination is going to help us in this life and in the life to come, we are sadly mistaken. I remember, this is a rabbit trail, but I want to share it with you. I remember my good friend Leon Boggs sold suits in a department store. And he got to thinking, where do people wear suits? But this is a long time ago. They don't wear suits anymore. But the church where men wear suits. So he decided to start going to church so he could sell suits. But he got saved. And now has been a preacher for years and years and years. So if we think that our faith in God or belonging to this or that religion or having membership in a certain church denomination is going to help us in this life and in the life to come, we are sadly mistaken. In fact, Paul goes so far as to say that even if we had miracle working faith that could move the mountains from the Aspen Ski Resort or the beaches of Lake Michigan to League City, Texas, it would be of no value in the eyes of God. Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, that in the last days there will be those who say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" And Jesus will say to them in verse 23, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." And so without love, the Apostle Paul warns us that our faith and all the miracles in the world are useless. Listen to Paul's declaration in 1 Corinthians 13 that without love, our sacrifices have no benefit. Verse 3, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." This is where many fail in their understanding of Father God. Many believe that if they just do good works, like feeding the poor and needy, just like Jesus tells us to, then they'll be okay. However, listen to Jesus' words spoken on Judgment Day in Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 39. He says, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Verse 35, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in." Verse 36, "I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Verse 37, Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? Verse 38, when did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothed you? Verse 39, when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And when the righteous standing before Jesus at the judgment seat asked, when did they see him like this and perform these deeds? Jesus said in verse 40, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. To add more clarification, Paul declares in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that without love, these acts of good work have no value. Even if we make the ultimate sacrifice, dying for what we say we believe in, or martyrdom, Paul states that it's just not enough, that is not without love. King David speaks of this in Psalm 51 when he was asking for God's forgiveness after his sin with Bathsheba. David said in Psalm 51, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Now, while these words speak to our need to be truly repentant for our sins, the point is that sacrifices do not make things right between us and God. Jesus said it this way to the Pharisees in Matthew 9:13, but go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Now, Jesus did make the ultimate sacrifice, but he did so out of love, pure love for you and me. The Lord gave us the perfect example of sacrificial love and how a sacrifice should be inspired by love. Now, hopefully, we all understand why love is a Christian's motivator, the utmost priority, and just how essential it is, and how absolutely necessary it must be in everything we do as believers. Do we have the ability to love like Jesus? Yes, indeed. Are we willing to love like Jesus? Hopefully. Can we surrender to the Holy Spirit and love God and the whole with the whole of who we are, body, soul, mind, and strength? And then are we willing to love others in the same way? Those who are children of God should imitate the love of God. Love then truly is our job description. Brothers and sisters, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And it's up to God's people to make a difference in this world. Only through the genuine love of God can we rescue peoples from the brink of despair and deliver the world from the utter insanity that we witness today. Folks, my words today describe the importance of Christian love in your life. There's no room for a critical spirit to reside in the heart and soul of a believer. Love must govern how you think and how you act. And there's no excuse. When the Holy Spirit enters a believer, agape love moves into the believer's spirit along with the Spirit of God. Therefore, the same love Jesus had for people is now resident within each believer. But it needs to be activated by the renewing of their mind in this area, by letting love dominate. Love is your job description. Love is your job description. Let us love God and love one another with all our heart. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for this message. That clearly shows us the importance of love within the life of a believer. Lord, if we lack in any area, please renew our mind so that there is no lack in the hearts of a believer. Lord, let us love each other. As we love you, Lord God, let us love others. Let us walk this life and be remembered for the love we have for each other. Lord, it's so easy to get discouraged. It's so easy to be mean, self-centered. It's so easy to say things that are incorrect. But Lord, with agape love working within each one of us, love that is unconditional, Lord, we can make a difference. When people look at us, Lord, we are testimonies of your love working in us, that we're different than the norm. We have something they don't have. And that love within us will make them hungry for what we do have. Jesus, open our eyes and show us how love fits every part of life for the believer. Jesus loved us so much that he suffered and died. He was willing to do that. Because of his love driving him to that. Lord, make a new heart in us today. And fill us with your love. And I give you all the glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. This morning when you leave, I would appreciate a hug from every person in here. And Brother Norm, if you don't mind, go get Bonnie. I want her to get the hug too. If it wasn't for her, Lord only knows where I'd be.
Yeah.
Brother Glenn, I give you this church.
Not going far.
I'm not planning. But I'm also submitting myself to you. Claire?
I have had the privilege of knowing a gentleman named Dr. Jacob Currier, who is a worldwide evangelist. 150 plus countries that he's been to. Now, I didn't go on all of those trips, but I've been on a pretty good number. And I can say this, I have never seen another church with as much love as this one has.
Amen.
And that's on account of him. He has taught us what love is, not just with words, but with his life. And I say, for me, I say thanks. And I hope everyone else does. Thank you.
Remember, it's going to cost you a hug to get out of here. No sneaking out. God bless you, you're dismissed, and I love y'all.
Love you.
Good morning.
How are you? Lord bless you. We got foot to foot. That was okay.